Santiago, the capital of Chile, is the envy of Latin America. A U.S.-inspired formula of privatization and free markets has worked much better there than elsewhere on the continent, and Santiago is now seen as the most first-world capital in the region. But Santiago's enthusiasm for capitalism also comes with drawbacks, in particular, severe air pollution. As part of NPR's Profiles of Latin American Cities, NPR's Martin Costi reports on a city trying to clean itself up.
The scene on Santiago's Plaza de Armas is a Latin American idyll. Kids are playing, parents are eating ice cream, and here on the bandstand, it's time for chess. There must be at least 50 games going, and dozens of spectators. But this chess scene comes with a Chilean twist. "Do you want to play?" asks a man who works for a local chess club. It appears chess on this plaza costs 60 cents a game. That's the kind of place Santiago has become, a privatized, pay-as-you-go society, a lot like America, but more so. 30 years ago, the old dictatorship deregulated the economy, and even though Chile is now a democracy, the free market is still king. Free market capitalism has worked in Chile, so much so that this growing economy attracts thousands of migrant workers from Bolivia, Ecuador, and Peru. On the other side of the plaza, the migrants line up, waiting for offers of day labor. Peruvian Alfredo Herman says there's a constant need for construction workers here. "To be able to keep growing, they tear buildings down here that are 200 years old, and they build upwards because they're running out of room," Herman says. He says Peruvians don't enjoy living here, in part because they're illegal immigrants and always have to watch for the police, but also because the air is so bad. Wilfredo, a teenager from the Peruvian city of Cusco, says there are days in the winter when he can barely work. "Your eyes burn, they get red, and it can also give you a headache," he says. It's a far cry from the thin mountain air of Cusco, but Wilfredo can't leave until he's saved up some money. This is Santa Lucia Hill, a bluff that rises from the middle of downtown. A statue of a conquistador marks the spot where Don Pedro Valdivia and his men camped in 1540, establishing a Spanish presence. Half-naked kids splash in the ceremonial fountain. The no-swimming sign has been altered with chalk to read, "Swimming sure is allowed." From up here, Santiago's problem is clear. The city sits in a bowl, the sheer wall of the Andes to the west, a smaller mountain range to the east. A layer of grimy pollution blankets the whole thing, like skin on a pudding. Things are worst in the winter, when cold air traps the smog. Nearly 6 million people live here, 40% of Chileans, and the ever-growing population depends on urban factories and widespread car ownership. Andrei Chernichin is the head of the Health and Environment Commission of the Chilean Medical Association. He says winters in Santiago take a serious toll.
"Usually 2 or 3 days after an environmental crisis of air pollution, the hospitals are full of patients. We can get sometimes more than one patient per bed with patients with asthmatic or bronchial crisis. Really dramatic."
Chernichin says lung cancer deaths in Santiago are about 3 times the normal rate, and he's done research into the pollution's effect on fetuses. Chernichin is known as something of a gadfly in Santiago because he blames the pollution on what he sees as the government's commitment to keep the economy and the city growing. It's an argument that's echoed by Alvaro Gomez, president of a network of Chilean environmental groups known as RENACE.
"Think about it. For the last decade, this country has grown on average about 5% a year. But the amount of refuse going into landfills has grown 12% a year. Somehow, it's this economic model that's affecting our environment and natural resources. This is why we don't see improvement."
But the government says there has been substantial improvement. Jorge Cáceres, technical director of the National Environmental Agency, points to data showing a 53% reduction in fine particulate matter in the Santiago air over the last decade.
"Objective data is one thing, and the citizen's perception is another. As long as there isn't a visible structural change in public transportation, that perception of pollution isn't going to change much.
As Cáceres says this, he gestures towards the noisy, diesel fume belching buses that go by his window. These buses are perhaps the most visible legacy of the dictatorship's pro-entrepreneurial policies. In the old days, almost anybody could buy a bus and start running it around the city, all in the name of free markets. For the past 10 years, the Democratic government has been trying to rein in these buses, first by forcing them to burn cleaner diesel, and now with an ambitious project to double the size of the subway system. But Cáceres says the government has to tread carefully.
El posible y plenamente compatible proteger el medio ambiente.
It's completely possible to protect the environment and also grow economically. A lot of other countries see these things as a dichotomy, but Chile's experience for the last decade shows that these things are compatible.
Outside experts find themselves somewhere in the middle. Pablo Ulrichsen runs the lab at SENMA, the university-based center that measures Santiago's air quality. He says the government's approach has improved the air, but when asked whether it's possible to reduce pollution much more, he shakes his head.
No, I don't think it can. The most effective countermeasures have become to a final plateau. And the city is still increasing. I mean, the population is growing, number of cars are growing, the trips are longer.
The government says it is possible by using market forces against pollution. The government has experimented with so-called emissions trading. Businesses that find ways to reduce their pollution can sell part of their unused emissions capacity to others. The government wants to take the system nationwide, so companies can buy and sell emissions capacity on a pollution market. Similar systems exist in the U.S. and parts of Europe, but it's new to South America, and leftist groups here have branded it the privatization of the air. It's the changing of the guard at La Moneda, the presidential palace in downtown Santiago. The military bombed this building in 1973 when it seized power. Now the same military parades past a new statue of Salvador Allende, the socialist president who died in that coup. A democratically elected president once again occupies the repaired palace. Like so many things in Chile, the debate over pollution is an echo of the ideological struggles of the 1970s and 80s, another test of Latin America's tolerance for Yankee-style capitalism. But the players have changed somewhat. The current president is a socialist, and yet he recently met with business leaders and signed a so-called pro-growth agenda, making economic growth the government's central goal. In the view of Chile's new breed of socialist, capitalism can fix almost anything, even dirty air and stinging eyes. Martin Costi, NPR News.
To hear all the stories from NPR's Latin American Cities series, visit our website, npr.org.